Blog Talk Radio. on my way to help me on my way. I finally was so much that I could try, but I must have been asking just a little too much. Before I could even leave my room, I was the star of the town by the afternoon. Everyone can get on the glory and added their own a little twist to the story. And by the time I got a back to make it grown, I'm much bigger than I could say. My lady came knocking at my door.
Yeah, I mean, you can't ask even the greatest athletes on that team to pull off a feat without Clay going down again. And, of course, KD being out and having that kind of a ball movement. And I really think that, Steve Kerr was outcoached a little bit. I just question his rotations and what he was doing and staying with guys a little bit too long. But it is what it is. Congratulations to Toronto. I guess my question to you, as we put a wrap on that, does Kawhi stay in Toronto, number one? Number two, do you think that the big three in Golden State will stay together?
I think the biggest lack of preparation or adjustments were made by Steve Kerr was when Toronto went to that Boston one on Steph Curry. They really didn't throw up their entire ball game. They're all their offensive rotation. Pretty remarkable in Toronto. Obviously, he becomes very beloved up there, and I think it would be great for the league if he stays up there and keeps that Toronto team competitive. As for Golden State, I got a feeling that they'll all come back because I think they were going to all want one more run because I think they're going to look at the injury situations that they had and say, if we were all healthy, we could have gotten the start. And so if they're able to do that and put some other pieces in, they need a legitimate low post option and they need some more role players coming off the bench that can produce as they had in the past. So I think Kawhi, I can't say this for Kawhi. I think in terms of what the big three had in Golden State, I think they all stay. And I think they're gonna make one more run at this and get this back and say this is what we would have had we all stayed together and we all stayed healthy.
Yeah, I agree with that. I just feel like, with Kevin going down the way he is, I don't think he wants to finish, if he's going to be finished at some point, in Golden State that way. I also don't think that they want to close, even though they are closing out that arena that way. I think they want to leave or start off fresh, if you will, a better way. So we'll see. We will see how that goes. We're talking with Andrew Dixon, of course, covering the NBA and soccer. And speaking of dominance, Andrew, you look at the FIFA Cup taking place, the Women's Cup. We can get into some of the surprises, disappointments, if you will. But the U.S., look, we talked about how dominant they can be. I asked you about some teams that maybe can upset them. They face the host team coming up, but 13-0 over Thailand, and you pointed out in your article, it's two ways you can kind of look at that. You can look at it as, you don't tell the top athletes to turn it off and stop stepping on a opponent's throat because they want to win, they want to keep doing it, and it's good practice, if you will. You get everybody involved, So maybe it wasn't, you know, a bad thing to win. However, they shouldn't be certainly, and I don't think they will, be overconfident. But the question is out there is, do you call off the dogs? I mean, 13-0 in soccer is, you know, that's like Wilt Chamberlain scoring 100 points on somebody. I mean, that's pretty impressive. So what do you say if you're in that position coaching that team? Can you do me a favor? Look in the production room and see if they got a login for this, or even the login that on that computer might be the same. I didn't even start recording this. Oh my God. Yeah, and then you bring up Chile, 3-0 in that game. Is that based on the opponent and to the novice person? Is that impressive? Is that more impressive to beat them 3-0 than to beat a Thailand team? You obviously clearly is like in an exhibition match, as you mentioned, 13-0. With Andrew Dixon here on the pad, and you know, taking a look at some of the other results over the weekend, when you look at in Group D, Japan and Scotland, Japan taking it, Jamaica taking it on the chin, Argentina losing. You know, we'll talk about the men's side in a sec, but in terms of overall. You know, the Caribbean teams and teams of that vicinity. What's the issue with it? Is it passing? Is it just a lack of talent when you get into these big world stage type of play? What would you say is the issue, and how far they need to go to, I mean, Jamaica, we talked about, they, you know, they probably wasn't going to do much of anything, but what do you say is the initial issues with these teams?
Yeah, I think you've seen with some of the lesser teams, a lot of it's just experience playing on this big stage. You know, players playing in competitive leagues, they don't necessarily have that. If you look at some of the South American teams like Argentina, their federation really hasn't supported them. You know, obviously, you know, the men, you know, it's part of the culture, men's soccer in Argentina. But the women haven't gotten that, and that's really unfortunate, because when they do get to this type of stage, you know, they're not able to, you know, compete on the same level. And you see that, you know, with some of the African countries as well. So experience is one. The support just isn't there for women's soccer the way it should be. And that, as I said, that's really unfortunate. But everybody should have played this game. You know, I think we talked about that the last time we spoke. Everybody should have played this game and should really get behind, you know, these girls that have that dream to be able to play this game and get to this world stage like that. On the field, what I'm noticing is sometimes it's a lack of patience. It's a lack of ability to play out of the back, you know, from your part of the field and try to move it forward. A lot of these, you know, top teams in the United States, and they don't necessarily have the ability to string, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 passes to get up into the other side of the field. And I think that's one of the biggest issues I've seen. And when they do get into a sort of, you know, dangerous position, we're seeing passes that aren't accurate, or we're seeing long passes be sent into space, and hopefully that their player can run onto the ball, and that, you know, we've got 2 or 3 defenders back there, that makes it difficult. So, again, you know, if you look at a team like, you know, South Africa, I mean, they actually got a lead on I think it was Spain in their opening match. And they were able to possess the ball a little bit, but then they sort of backed up. And one thing I noticed in the U.S.-Chile match yesterday was that as soon as Chile lost the ball, they immediately dropped all their 11 players back on the other side of the field. So it makes it difficult that when you do get the ball, you don't have an outlet anymore to hold the ball and allow the rest of your team to get forward.
We'll talk about Andrew Dixon, of course, here on the pad at WCON, LP, Chapel Hill, and Carrboro, and, of course, Blog Talk. Today, don't have the results or times of play of today. You can correct me if I am, of course, for Group B, China versus Spain. That'll be on the BBC website. South Africa versus Germany, and Nigeria versus France should be interesting. South Korea and Norway. Give us some thoughts on some of those matchups.
Well, actually, all those games that you mentioned are done.
They
played earlier today. And so Spain and China both tied 0-0, so they both actually move on. Spain finished behind Germany in second place in that group, and China with already automatically have to qualify because they were one of the better third-place teams already. So they're through. Norway beat South Korea, so they're in second place behind France, who beat Nigeria 1-0 on some, a little bit of some controversy on France's goal. But France has, they've gone 3-for-3, so they have won their group, and so they move on. And, you know, they're waiting on one of the third place finishers to see who they'll play in the round of 16. So we've already, you know, all those matches are already seen, have already been played. And so we move on to tomorrow's matches. In Nigeria, they're hoping that they'll be able to progress as one of the third place teams. They have just a -1 goal differential. So it might be good enough for them to squeak into one of the third place slots and move on in this World Cup. Had they tied, they would have been guaranteed one of the third place slots. But they came up a little bit short, as I mentioned, some controversial decisions on that goal that France got today. And so they're going to have to play the waiting game. They'll be on the bubble, just like, you know, mid-major in March Madness.
Wow. That's tough. That's a wait and see. That's tough. And I always forget about the time difference and everything else with these games. But certainly, when you look at the Gold Cup, as great, and I mean great, as the women are, and consistent, the concerns are on the men's side in this cup. Talk about their play, their strengths and flaws, and who's really the team to beat?
Well, United States, they open up play tomorrow night, 10 o'clock. They'll be playing Guyana.
You can take that back.
They are drawn into a pretty
Thanks.
Decent group with Panama, who actually made the World Cup and actually took, but knocked them out.
I know what you do.
And
go in the other room and dial the 646 number and see if you can hear me. Shut this door. See if you can hear me through my computer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, dial the 646 number.
So that's a pretty decent group in the United States. They're going to have to go on. Move on. The biggest issue for the United States right now is probably confidence and consistency. They just are not consistent right now. They're not playing very good soccer. They came into this Gold Cup having dropped two matches, a poor result against Jamaica, as well as an absolute drubbing against Venezuela, 3-0, before Venezuela went on to get their campaign started in Copa America. Right now, I think Greg Berhalter, the coach, United States, is really trying to figure out his lineup, how he wants to play. He said he tried some different things against Jamaica, and that didn't work. Definitely tried to go back to what he was doing and bring some younger players in for Venezuela. And that didn't work out either. And just a lot of players just looked lost in that Venezuela match. They didn't know where they were supposed to be marking, whether it was certain parts of the field where they're supposed to open up and hit the ball forward. It just seemed like everybody was lost on that day. So, you know, I think they've got a lot to prove. The public has not forgotten the fact that they missed the World Cup and out of qualifying out of a zone that they should have. And so the pressure, it's already off the Greg Berhalter. He won his first two games in terms of exhibition matches, but this is where redemption for the United States begins in this Gold Cup. And this is the Gold Cup that really, truly matters because, even though it's played every 2 years, the United States technically are the defending champions, the one that we played in 2 years, we played by teams bringing their B teams and their C teams, because that would be played at the same time that World Cup qualifying is going on. So this is the one where everybody brings their first team. And so this is the one that really, truly matters. And for the United States to get back and so they can proclaim themselves the kings of CONCACAF, which is our region, North Central America and Caribbean, this is where you've got to win. This is where you've got to make a really strong showing. And the last time around, they lost to the semifinals. Saturday, even though they're missing some players, as I mentioned in the article, Carlos
And you mentioned also Brazil and the fact that the last time they won, if I'm not mistaken, is when they host the Gold Cup. Talk about that team.
Well, Brazil's actually in the Copa America, and that's the South American Championships. And they, in terms of when they last won, it was actually 2007, but they did host it and win it, and that's what they're hoping to do this time around. They, you know, they're missing Neymar. This is really supposed to be part of Neymar's kind of rejuvenation after a really injury-plagued year at PSG, but that's not happening because he hurt himself during a friendly against Qatar in the build-up to this Copa America, and so so he won't be there. But you still have, you know, great players like Roberto Firmino and Philip Coutinho, who I think scored twice in Brazil's opening win. So, and they're going to want to win this at home because the last, obviously, the last tournament that they hosted at home, it did pretty badly. That was the World Cup 2014 where they suffered that 7-1 drubbing to Germany. Now, they did win the Olympic tournament a couple years back, a few years back now. So there is that. But, you know, in terms of the senior team, they're going to want to win this Copa America because this is a very important tournament in South America. And, you know, in the past, it was, you know, automatic entry to the Confederations Cup, but that doesn't exist anymore. But it's just being able to call yourself champions in a very competitive tournament that has the likes of Argentina, has the likes of Uruguay, that has the likes of Chile, who is a two-time defending champion. So this is a big, big, big tournament, and Brazil is very keen to try and win this thing.
Of course, we're talking with Andrew Dixon here on the Basso Pad. I think we have a Reggie here on the line. Reggie?
Yeah, LA, can you hear me?
Final thoughts for you for not just soccer fans, Andrew, but just a novice. Talk about the excitement. We have three different tournaments taking place on a world stage. And all concluding around the same time?
Same day. In fact, July 7th, all three finals are going to be contested. The Women's World Cup will finish up in Paris. The Copa America will finish up in Rio de Janeiro. And Chicago is going to be hosting the Gold Cup final. So it's all happening on the same day. And so you're going to see, you know, you're going to see a lot of good soccer over the next couple of weeks. Obviously, the, you know, the women's tournament, you know, getting on towards moving day. You know, the tickets are being punched for the next round, and people are going to really start to see some real, you know, real competitive games, real strategy, real caginess, and see what team has that special quality to advance as far as they can in the tournament. But Copa America is also one of the great tournaments. It's one I've always watched. And the United States actually played it back in 1995 and again in 2007. But in 1995, they had a great run getting to the semifinals of that tournament. But you, a lot of great players that you'll see, like Lionel Messi, Edison Cavani for Uruguay, Luis Suarez, hopefully he doesn't bite anybody. You know, the great Alexis Sanchez out of Chile. The Paraguay has a very competitive team. So you're going to see a lot of good soccer being played by some players that you're very familiar with if you follow some of the European leagues. And even in MLS, Nicolas Lucero, who plays for the Seattle Sounders, had an outstanding goal for Uruguay last night. So he's in the mix as well. So we're going to have some great soccer being played there. And, of course, Gold Cup. It's a tournament, especially for some of the Caribbean nations, for them to get to shine a little bit. You know, Haiti got their Gold Cup started with a 2-1 come from behind win against Bermuda. You're going to see Jamaica, who's had some decent runs in this tournament. You're going to see Trinidad and Tobago. You're going to see some debuts from some of these other countries like Curacao and other Caribbean nations, and Nicaragua, who you don't see very often because they don't normally get very far in qualifying. Costa Rica has a head. They started off very well with 4-0 win in their opening match that they hosted. So it's going to be some good soccer, and so if you really want to learn it,
Mm-hmm.